Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Infinite complacence. People went to and fro the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
Well, yeah, so Chris, you called in actually for episode 299 and told basically the abridged version of what we will be hearing in full today. And I don't really want to preface this too much in case people haven't listened to 299. They might be, you know, pretty stunned by the story and think it's pretty cool and terrifying. Probably wasn't very fun to live through, so I'm not going to set this up very much. I just kind of want you to, you know, start from the beginning wherever you like.
Awesome. Well, goodness. Okay, so I will go ahead and just preface the story just because I've told the story about 100 times, you know, enough that my wife always makes the joke that she can feels like she can tell it just as well as I can.
Right.
But I tell it to friends and family, and I always preface the story by saying when this happened, I was a very big skeptic, right? I did not believe at all in like a lot of these paranormal things. In fact, I used to like, you know, affectionately kind of tease or make fun of some of my friends that were like into, you know, the ghosts and things like that. And this abruptly changed kind of my outlook. And you know, while I did grow up in like a relative, like a Christian religious household, and I always believed in that, I just, a lot of these claims you'd hear about like ghosts and, you know, the supernatural, I thought that they were just kind of weighted and they didn't hold any merit. So
right.
The whole story kind of started about between 15 and 18 years ago. To be 100% honest, I don't really remember. I think it was about 16, but I was kind of like going through some things, trying to collect my thoughts prior to talking to you. And I'm like, you know, it might have been a year before here or here before there. So I'm just going to put it in a window there. My best friend at the time had purchased a house in Pekin, Illinois, and he bought it foreclosed from the bank for very, very cheap. Like it was like $25,000 or $30,000. And I mean, the house was appraised well over 100. And so he bought it, and the way it worked with this situation is he kind of bought the house before he got to like really walk it or do a whole lot of work with it or look at it. So he was obviously was my best friend, and you know, I wanted to be there for him and help him kind of like do some cleaning and painting and just kind of work on the house. So I had told him, I'm like, you know, when you buy the house, I'm probably going to just kind of bring an air mattress and kind of like live with you for a short period of time, and I'll help you do some of the like the renovations and maintenance and stuff. He was, you know, he was totally all for that. He was like, oh, that's a great thing. That's cool. I really appreciate you. So that's kind of what happened. When we go to move into the house was in terrible shape. There was literally, I remember there was like melted candles to the floor, the wood. He had wood floors in the house. It was a ranch style house with a detached garage outside and a smaller backyard and a smaller front yard on a hill. And I remember there was like melted candles that were like, it was like they had lit the candle and let it melt all the way to the ground, all over the living room. There was like graffiti on the walls, lots of like makeshift beds. Like you'd find blankets and sweaters, t-shirts, like old nasty pillows, lots of trash. And even at one point, in the drywall and the ceiling was completely caved in, from like a roof leak, a previous roof leak or an issue. So we had our work cut out for them, for us. So we immediately started with cleaning, you know, doing like the Murphy stuff on the floor to try to bring out the wood again. And while the house was very old, there was not much of a history to it. I remember when he purchased the house, we looked up the address in Google. And there was nothing there. It's just like the Zillow or whatever, you know, the real estate stuff site you would see on the internet at the time. So it's an old house, but we started working through some stuff and cleaning things. And it just kind of had a weird feeling to it. And, you know, with it being an old house, you never know if there's going to be like wiring issues or, you know, there's just times you go in old houses and you're like, man, it just kind of has a creepy vibe to it. But it doesn't always mean anything, you know? Mm-hmm. So I remember being kind of creeped out, but my good friend, he had sunk every penny he had into this house. You know, he didn't have a lot of money. This was kind of like his Hail Mary at trying to get his own place and get his life together, because he was at a really rough spot. So we get in, we start cleaning, and almost immediately just strange things started to happen. We were one day starting to clean the living room or paint the living room, excuse me. And I had filled up my air mattress. I filled up one for him, and we were in the living room and we had stayed up to like, you know, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock painting. And they were like, let's crash. We had the fans going, and then we were going to wake up and do our thing. It was like a weekend, you know? So we stayed up late painting, you know, just weird things constantly were happening, lights flickering, smells. The house, even at the beginning, it just had a really eerie feeling, like I was telling you. And I remember we went to bed. There was no huge issues that night, like nothing super scary happened. But I remember we went to bed on our air mattresses and we woke up, and right in between the two air mattresses, he had a 5-gallon thing of Sherman Williams paint that we had been using that we closed. Well, on the floor next to the paint was what looked like a outline of a small handprint, like a human handprint, but it was small. But it wasn't like a perfect handprint. So I could see it and I was like, oh my goodness, this looks like a child's handprint. That's kind of creepy. It was right between our two air mattresses. I mean, probably 10 inches from me and a couple feet from him. And I remember telling him, like, dude, what the heck is this? And I will tell everybody, you know, we had had a couple beers that night, but maybe like two or three apiece, you know? I mean, we weren't trying to get drunk. We were still trying to work, but he's like, you know, I don't know. It's probably one of us. Well, I didn't have any paint on my hands when I woke up, neither did he. But he kind of brushed it off. He acted really weird about it. And he just, you know, I remember going through the house that night. I'm like, you know what? Maybe, I mean, it's unlikely, but maybe like a raccoon got in, you know? Cause at this point I'm trying to find any sort of logical explanation of why this happened. Cause again, it was super creepy. So I remember going through and I check all the windows are all locked. There's a couple small like breaks in the windows in the basement, but they're like 4-inch holes. Like nothing can get through like that. So we just kind of brushed it off. I thought it was really weird, but you know, we get the paint off the floor and we just kind of went back to work. And you know, we kept painting. He had guys come in to work on the ceiling, putting the plaster over the shiplap that was exposed in the hole. And we continued painting the different rooms. One of the rooms was this god awful, we called it frog puke green. But it was this like super vibrant green for like a child's room. And we were painting that. And that was about the time that we both started getting this really foul odor we would smell. It'd come in, it'd come out super quick. We didn't know what it was. It was just bad. It was really hard to explain what it smelled like. I know people always talk about like things smell like rotten eggs. It smelled like rotting something, but I don't know if it was rotten eggs, like just rotting. So I remember Tim was like, or my friend Tim at the time was like, you know, maybe there's a dead critter in the crawl space under the house. Or so we started looking around while cleaning. We found, you know, it's an old house. We found like, you know, rat droppings and stuff in the basement, certain corners, but nothing that would really make you think, oh my God, what is this smell? And we had people in the attic at the time repairing that hole. So we had them look there, you know, there was no like signs of, you know, rats or bats or anything, but the odor seemed to just come and go. And his temperature in the house would just, I mean, he kept it at 72, but it would just get cold all the time. And random times you'd walk to a different room and it'd get cold. And I honestly remember once it was like 80 degrees in the summer. His house was at 72, had been comfortable. And I walked into the basement and I saw my breath for a minute, which was really weird. But I mean, basements get cold, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So at this point we started hearing some things too, strange knocks throughout the house. But again, old house, we just thought, you know, there are some mice, you know, here or there. So we painted the rooms. He did have a dog named Jackson, who was an American Eskimo dog. And Jackson would act normal. I mean, it was weird. He would always look like he was watching things around the house, but we did see mice at one point. So we thought he was just looking at mice. So one day we're like, you know what? We have these awkward trees in the backyard. They were like in the middle of this small, small backyard. It was like somebody had planted them there, or maybe we thought they were saplings. It didn't make sense where they were because they were just, it ruined the entire backyard. They were like two of them. They were about 15 feet tall, maybe the size of my forearm, you know, and a couple saplings around them. And we're like, you know what, let's clean up the backyard so we can get a grill out there and have some fun and enjoy the backyard. So we went to Walmart, got the tools, did all that stuff. And we started cutting these trees down, digging out the roots. Well, at one point we hit a sound of something that's metal, you know, and not going to lie to you guys, we were kind of dumb at the time. I mean, I was 17, 18, and, you know, he was not much older. We didn't call Julie, so it kind of freaked us out at first because we're like, oh, God, we hit some sort of pipe or line or something. But, you know, we were careful. We kind of, like, around that spot dug to see if we could see the pipe gently. And it wasn't a pipe, but at one point, he, like, when we got the trees on, we pull it out. My friend Tim had brought out two masks that were buried completely under the two trees. And they were really creepy. So the first mask, and they were made of metal, and it was pitted, very old metal. I'm thinking cast iron. And they would go over your face, and the first one had spikes, dozens and dozens of spikes that were like between 3 and 4 inches long, and they were just covered the entire head. There was nowhere to touch on the mask that did not have spikes protruding from it. And that one had a closed mouth, and they had little dot eye holes, like somebody would have wanted to wear them. And I remember my friend Tim goes, hey, take this. I'm like, I ain't touching that, right? I mean, I didn't believe in, you know, supernatural stuff, but I'm like, I've seen enough movies. You don't touch the scary mask you find under a tree.
Right.
So I didn't touch it, right? So I'm like, dude, I'm not touching that. I'll hope you dig, but I'm like, I'm not touching that. And he looked at it, and he's like, well, it's super creepy. So he put it on, like, a glass table or whatever outside. And I mean, the mask weighed, I'm assuming, about 10 or 20 pounds because he struggled handing it to me. He was a slender guy. So we kept digging. We hit another one under the other tree. The other one was probably the more disturbing for me. It was a cast iron mask, just like the other one, same style. Eye holes were just a dot, you know, a very small eye hole, small ear hole. But this one, the mouth was screaming. And both of the masks had facial, like, features you could see through, like, the spikes and whatnot. But this one was just a regular face with the mouth that was open like it was screaming, but coming through the mouth was a hand with claws on it. And the hand was, I mean, this was a very, very detailed mask. Now, at this time, when he pulled it out, I was actually going to school for metalworking and machining. And I remember, like, looking at it while he held it, and I'm like, holy crap, I couldn't make that on a CNC very easily. I mean, this was not an easy mask to make, but these were really old masks. So he put that one on the table, and, you know, we finished our project, and I swear it was like a light switch had been hit that night. I mean, everything that could go wrong in the house did. The smell was almost constant for a very short period of time, like, I mean, days when I say short period, but it was like lights wouldn't work. You'd be in the bathroom using the restroom, and the lights would just stop. We would hear things that were just really creepy. But, you know, again, we kind of brush it off. You know, it's an old house. You know, things like this happen. Until this one night, I was laying on, he had brought in some furniture. So I was laying on his couch, and he had this really old, like, quilt style blanket I was kind of laying with. Just to, you know, I was crashing on his couch. We had just done some work. And his dog, Jackson, jumps up off his bed, runs through the middle of the room, and is standing in front of the living room I'm in. and plants all fours and just growls and snarls towards the basement. I've never seen his dog act like this. It was terrifying. And, you know, I'm sitting in the corner and I'm still trying to tell myself that, you know, he's probably just seeing like mice or something, or maybe there's like a coon or something walking around outside he doesn't like, but he was just staring at the darkness of the basement. The way that the house worked was living room connected, like an open concept. There wasn't really walls, to like another dining area, then a kitchen. And then it like a dark staircase went around to the basement. And he was just staring there. And he was, I mean, literally snarling. This dog was just hair on the back of his neck, straight up, growling, head to the ground. And I'm not going to lie, I'm freaking out. I'm like, dude, what the hell's going on? Excuse me for cursing. I'm holding this little like blanket, and I'm man enough to say I put that damn thing over my head because I was freaking out. I just felt scared. It was eerie. I felt like I was being watched, and this dog is freaking out, staring at the hallway. So I'm putting this tethered little blankie over me that has holes. I can literally stick my finger through and like through the holes in the blanket. So it's not really, it's like not like it's gonna protect me from anything, right? But it was just like, that's what my mind told me to do, is cover my face. You know, I was scared. And then as quick as that, about this whole issue or this whole thing was about a 3-minute scenario. And then the dog just stopped. He looked there. It was like he was watching something and it walked away, right? He like completely stopped growling, stopped snarling. And then he laid there instead of sleeping on the bed with Tim. He laid there on the floor and just fell asleep on the hardwood, kind of between the two of us, which I thought was really weird too, because, I mean, he always slept on my buddy's, Tim's bed with him. And then that night, we had a party. We had a lot of people over. It was kind of a housewarming party. The house was livable. It wasn't completely done, but, you know, it was enough, right? So we had about 10, maybe 12 people over. We had some beer. We're all sitting in the front room, and Tim, the homeowner, my friend, had a garden gnome like sculpture. It was like, it looked like what you would put outside, just typical, like, you know, 16, 18 inch garden gnome. And yeah, he got it from an old job he worked at. So we named him Henry, and he was sitting on a shelf. And well, in front of everybody, we're all sitting upstairs. Henry and came off the entertainment center, like it was like shoved and just shattered on the floor. And there was no one anywhere near him. Nobody was up and walking. And so his pieces, his arm, his whatever, his gnome hat, whatever, they're all over the floor. Well, everybody, it was funny. Everybody in the party saw it and they're just like, I'm out. You know, people just started standing up and were like walking out. So at that point there was maybe one or two of like our real close friends and then me and Tim, and they just stayed there. Everybody else just was like, I don't want any of this. And they like walked out. They all saw it. They all reacted to it. They just left. They didn't want to be there. We're like, well, that sucks. You know, we're kind of here. So we picked up the pieces. We tried gluing back together Henry. You know, he was pretty messed up. I think to this day, Henry is missing one of his elbows and half the other arm. But, you know, Henry will survive. Well, so that was that night. And we're like, you know what, it was weird, but maybe it just like scooted off the wall, you know. And we just kept having more and more things happen. Lights going out. He at one point had an electrician come over because we were wondering why the lights would just like fissure out and then come back on. We thought there was like a short. So we had an electrician come, checked everything. There's no problem. So I think about a week after that, we had another kind of party. And Tim and I played music together. I played guitar. He played drums. His drum set was in the basement, and we would play, we would have some friends over and drink and like leave our instruments down there when we went back upstairs and in between like the beer pong and just hanging out, you know? And so my instrument was downstairs and my amplifier was turned off and he had some drumsticks. Well, we have a bunch of people upstairs and probably 8 or 9 people. And we're all just like talking, and out of nowhere, we all hear the fuzz of an amplifier turning on. I mean, it was just like a, and we, I mean, it was a loud amplifier. I mean, it was big, you know, that's how we played. And everybody heard, and we just stopped talking. Everybody upstairs was just silent. So we hear that fuzz, it turns on. And then you hear like, if you were to not make a chord on a guitar, but if you were to just brush the strings, mm-hmm. we hear that. And then Tim's drum set, his kick drum, went boom, boom, like something had stepped on it. But we're all upstairs. Everybody in the house is upstairs. There's no one downstairs. So we all hear that. And Tim and I, we're like, we're going to go look at this, right? So we went down there because we were like, who's messing with our instruments? Honestly, I just thought somebody was going to try to, somebody was down there we didn't know. And I was like, I don't want someone breaking my guitar, right? So we go down there, and there's no one. There's a couple rooms in the basement. One room that had like the beer pong table that connected to the big room where our instruments were. And there was no one in there. But my amp was on, and I know it was turned off. We all heard it turn on. It made a very distinct sound. So we went and turned them off, went back upstairs. And, you know, every time that things happen like this, I was asking Tim, like, Tim, I'm like, man, what do you think is going on here? This is crazy. And he just acted really weird about it, you know, and I didn't really understand why he acted the way he was. But, you know, now I'm older and I kind of think, well, I'm like, what could he have done? He sunk every penny he had in this house. I mean, this had to work, right? So, you know, he brushed it off and ignored it as much as he can, even though you couldn't. It became like a running joke between our friends. We'd have parties. They talk about the ghost and things were getting around. People were, you know, people would leave that would have an event. And then you'd have new people that like may have had like a friend, a mutual friend. They'd be like, oh, I heard that this is the house with the this and that. And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, I mean, it got around because we had a lot of witnesses there. But I'll also say, you know, you had a lot of witnesses there, but I mean, we're just kids, right? We're just, you know, doing our own thing. And so when you're not real, we weren't really trying to like prove the house was haunted, right? Like, so it's not like we were, you know, people always ask like, well, where's the evidence, right? But when things are happening like that and you don't really, I mean, they're weird, but we didn't really care, you know? So at this point, about a week later after that party, we were like, you know what? His new roommate that had moved in, and I was not living there like full time. I was staying there a couple nights a week, had this big old VHS camcorder. It was one of those ones you had to put the, like a full size VHS tape in.
Right.
I mean, it probably weighed 15, 20 pounds, and he put it on a tripod. And we're like, I think it was like a 10-year Lord of the Rings re-release. And we're all going to go see it. So we put the camera out as a joke, kind of. We're like, when we get back, we'll have some guys over and have some people over. And we'll drink some beer and watch the footage, right? Because everybody talked about this ghost that lived at Tim's house. So we did that. And we come back. And it's all cool. You know, we're watching it in real time. And I remember... I'm watching the TV in an easy chair, and there's like four guys on the couch and a couple people in the kitchen. And we are all kind of like watching the TV, but more of just talking, you know, it's just background. And then we all just got quiet, and you look, and he had a DVD rack in the living room in perfect view. And the DVD on the top shelf, which was about 5 feet tall, he bought that DVD rack and like all the DVDs from when Hollywood Video went out of business. So it's like an industrial one. It came off the top, like a DVD slid out the top with no one home. And it looked like it hovered for a half second and dropped.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs, so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I mean, we caught it on camera. We're watching it. We rewinded it like three times. Everybody came into the kitchen to watch it. And again, people just start walking out. Nobody wanted to be in the house anymore. And it just got really weird. Cause like, what do you do with this now? Now we're committed. We have this videotape and, but again, Tim was acting real weird about it. You know, he didn't want to watch it. He just acted like, you know, he didn't want any part of it. So life went on. We hung out, we finished the night there. And then this night, about 3 days later, I remember I'm in the basement. We had another couple, like 6-8 people over. They're kind of drinking upstairs. And I had gotten a new guitar that I wanted to like repaint and like rebuild. So I'm in the basement on using the beer pong table no one's using. And I was sanding down the electric guitar. And so I was going to paint it. So I'm sitting there sanding and I'm by myself. There's no one in the basement. And I hear the sound of the crawl space, which had chicken wire in front of it, kind of like rolling up. And it made a very distinct sound. That crawl space went under his like mud room and under that hill in the front yard. So it was dirt on the bottom and it was deep. It went back like 12, 15 feet. It's kind of a spooky area, but most of the old houses had it in the area. So I could hear the chicken wire raveling up and I was just like, that's weird. It's probably a rat or a mouse or whatever. But at this point, all this stuff has happened. So I'm freaking out a little bit. So, you know, we had multiple experiences between these parties where his dog would just freak out and growl and snarl and look at the hallway or this and that. I mean, these were common things. And I'm sitting there standing the guitar and I hear that sound. And he had a couch that was sitting under the crawl space. And you sat on it, it squeaked. It made a very distinct sound. And I heard a squeak. And I'm like, I'm standing a little quicker at this point, a little more freaked out. But I'm like, you know, there's no one in there. So a lot of these things happening, you start thinking, oh, it's just in my head, right? You're freaking yourself out. And then I heard what sounded like footsteps, but not regular footsteps. I mean, it sounded like almost like tap shoes or, or hooves, which at this point I'm like, I'm losing my mind here. I was freaking out. I'm sanding 1,000 miles an hour, just staring at the door that was shut between me and that main room. Well, as I hear those footsteps, he had a water heater that had a drain hose, like a little rubber hose that went into a drain in the middle of the room. And we all kicked it 1,000 times. So he knew what the sound it was when it got kicked. Well, I heard the kick. It scuffed across the floor again. And I'm like, at this point, I'm freaked out. I mean, I'm not even looking at the guitar. I'm staring at the door. I'm sanding 1,000 miles an hour. And I'm sure there was a divot in my guitar for me standing in the same spot for a good 35 seconds at full speed. And out of nowhere, the door swings open. And the doorway was probably 6'5", you know, maybe 7 foot. And there is a pitch black figure staring at me through the doorway. And I know that people talk about shadow figures, but it's hard to explain if you've never fully seen a shadow figure. And I'd never seen one. This was kind of my first ever like paranormal experience, like this whole sequence of events. I couldn't see like where if you were to look at a person that was completely like without color, just black, right? But you couldn't see their fingers or hands because that became translucent. I could just see a mass. There was like where whatever its chest was, you could see nothing through it. It was just darkness. And then you could see like translucent through like where its hands and where its feet would be. And it was so tall, it stood over the doorway. And I remember its legs were like the knees bent the other way. And I just lost it. I don't even remember how I don't even remember how long I looked at it until it registered something in my heart and my head told me you're in danger. And I don't remember doing this until it happened, but I pick up that guitar and I threw it at the doorway and just jogged backwards into the wall. And I just froze and I hit the wall and I sunk down. My guitar hit the wall and I screamed. And I'm loud. I scream extremely loud. And all my friends come pouring downstairs because they hear me. And the second that they hit that top step, that door shuts again. And they all come down there and they're all looking at me and they say, what happened? I wasn't talking. I don't remember this. Like I'm just froze and I've never been that scared in my life. I couldn't see eyes. I just saw black. It was just a shadow, but I do some hunting in my free time. It's a hobby of mine. And the feeling that I got was I've had a couple instances where I've been stalked by something while hunting and you get a feeling you're being watched, but you're in danger. That was the feeling I got. I felt like I was looking at like a predator, and it was terrifying. I mean, earth shattering, the scariest thing I've probably ever seen. And all my friends come down, they're asking me what's going on. And I'm not talking for a few minutes. And then I tell them, and my friend Brandon goes, man, you're yellow. You're completely lack of color. Like the color left my face. And I just got up and I just sprinted out and I didn't come back. I just left. I'm like, I don't want any part of this. So, excuse me. Sorry.
I can hear you reliving that. And, I'm sorry to have you do that.
It's totally okay. It's just, you can't describe the feeling of what it looked like, what I saw. And I ran out. I didn't leave. And I just went home. And I shouldn't say this, but I had like two or three beers, four beers maybe, while I was standing on my guitar, and I just drove home. I did not care, and I shouldn't have done that. And I hate myself for doing that. I'm a responsible person. I would not do that. But I just left. I couldn't be a part of that. And I went to my parents' house, and I crashed.
Now, Chris, you said, sorry to interrupt you real quick. You said its knees were bent in the opposite direction?
Yeah. Ugh. It looked like like an animal, I think horse's legs do that. Mm. Or maybe not a horse. If you could imagine the knee turned completely backwards,
mm-hmm.
That's what it looked like. And it stood there, and I could see its knee. I could see where it started to turn, like the shin, whatever its shin would be, would go like back towards the ground, and then it just becomes translucent by where the feet, hooves, whatever, hands, claws, whatever would be. I couldn't see those. I could just see the mass, and like it would just, as you got farther away from that center mass of it, it would get lighter until it was just not there.
Well, it's just interesting to me that you know, when you started to say you were hearing these footsteps, which you at first you go, well, it sounded like tap shoes or hooves. And that was already in your mind.
Yeah.
And then the door opens and the damn thing has backwards legs. The knees are in the wrong place, essentially. It's not a classic shadow figure, if you will.
Correct. And it was so weird. I mean, you hear people like footsteps, and it was just strange because it was so out of place, right? It's one thing to hear echoed footsteps in a house on wood, but it was a concrete floor and it sounded like I said, tap shoes or like hooves. And it was, I'm like, I'm losing my mind here, but all this other stuff had happened. And I'm just froze in the motion of sanding the guitar when that happened. I mean, it was terrifying. It was crazy. So I left that day. I went home and I slept and I just passed out and I was shook. I mean, I've never been that scared in my life. It was just, it was terrifying. And I had nightmares. I mean, I just had these recurring nightmares. And it would just be a normal dream, right? I'm just normal thing happening in my dream. And then I would see out of the corner of my eye, that figure staring at me. But in my dream, which is 100% different than in real life, it had red eyes, just glowing, glowing red eyes. And it stared at me. It wouldn't blink. It didn't say anything. It didn't walk, didn't move. I would just see it watching me. And I had all these dreams. And I remember, I mean, this is not a one night thing. This is every night for weeks. I'm terrified still. And I told my parents. Well, I came from, like I said, a religious household. So they're like, let's go to church. You know, let's pray. I went to church. I started going back, and I'd go to my youth group, and I went on Sunday service for, I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks until I was still having these dreams as I'm praying every night. And then the pastor comes out and offers communion, and I took it. And that was the last night. Like, I didn't, after that moment, I took it. I said a prayer. I took communion, and I didn't have any more dreams. I never once had another dream, a nightmare, and it was not in my dream. And I remember praying, and I praying for, you know, protection and, you know, just to be watched over. And that was kind of the end of the story until about 6-8 months ago. And so Shannon, I've told two, like, I've done another podcast where we talked about this. This is the first real podcast I've done. I did like a small one for like a friend of a friend type thing. And one of your viewers that had like witnessed a lot of these things and remembered, we were talking, I hadn't talked to my friend in like 6-8 months. It was the roommate that had moved in after I like moved out. And we got to talking about this, right? Just these weird things going on and like reminiscing, you know. And he's like, I told him about the nightmares and the eyes. And then he told me he had the exact same nightmare, but its eyes were purple and not red. Mm. And he was one of your viewers, and he's the reason that I called in. So he had said, you know what, I listened to this podcast, you should really check it out. And that's, here we are. So, you know, there was probably 100 little instances and, you know, things that happened along the way, that I left out, but those were the things of the story that were really, like, for me, earth shattering and really made an impact on the whole scenario total. So I didn't go back to Tim's because, like I said, when the dream stopped, I was like, I'm not going to go back there. I was done. So 3 or 4 months go by, and I still have a guitar in his basement. I still had microphones and amplifier, all these things. And I was like, you know what? At some point, I need to go get my crap, right? So I went over and I stood in his mudroom. And I'm like, I'm not going to go. Will you go grab the stuff for me? And he did, and it was fine. It was completely uneventful. And I remember asking him, I'm like, is the ghost gone? You know, we're just kind of shooting the shit. And he goes, you know, the strangest thing happened. Those masks that had been sitting outside disappeared, and everything stopped. Everything stopped. I don't know if the dates correlated with, like, my communion. I know people have asked me that before. I don't know. I just know that he said around the same time that I had left and had all those terrible dreams and nightmares, they disappeared, and not one thing happened after that. All of the smells went away, all of the light flickering. His dog never growled again, didn't hear anything. Pictures weren't getting knocked off the walls. All of that stuff stopped. And that would be the end of the story.
I mean, okay, so you guys dig them up. They got put on that table, and they didn't get touched until, of course, they moved. They were gone. But you guys didn't screw with them after that, really. They had been sitting there for that long outside.
Oh, my God, I would not touch that thing. No. He left them outside and just kind of left them. He had these wine barrel sideways flower pots that were like, if you were to cut a wine barrel like in half,
yeah,
and then it would have like a roof. He had those things. I think one of them, or he had put them for a little bit off the table, like in the flower pot. He touched them because it was like where the flower pots were. There was a roof over them from the garage or from the house, so the water wouldn't hit them as much. But they just disappeared. That was the only thing. No one ever brought them in the house. No one ever. I mean, they just were there, and then they were gone. And he said once they were gone, everything stopped. And that, like I said, I wasn't there for that portion, so I can't really validate that, but it makes for quite a coincidence, you know?
Oh, it absolutely does. Well, and if one of your friends took the masks, you would think that you would hear about something like that, you know?
Yeah, and we asked around. You know, that was one thing that happened when all this stuff had transpired. We all started asking around. When I left and didn't come back, I'm messaging all our close friends, and we're talking about it because they're still checking in on me. You know, like, hey, you want to come out to Tim's? We're going to do this and that. I'm like, no, you know, I'm good. You know, but I would still get the invites, and we would just text and talk. And I remember asking, I'm like, do you know where the masks went? They were like, no, because the other thing was, we would tell this story, you know, people involved in this, and there was a lot of people that witnessed things and were involved. They'd want to see these masks. So, like, people knew where the masks were. No one would touch them. right? Like the masks were like everybody had the same feeling as me, except for Tim, because he had to move them and for because it was his house, you know. So people were like coming over and looking at them. I'm sure there were pictures taken of them. I've been trying to find them pictures for 10 years and can't find them. But I mean, like a lot of people saw these masks. This was not like we hid them in a corner or something for not people to see. I mean, they were crazy, crazy masks. And everybody like saw them. So, I mean, I'm not going to say that, you know, they had some mystical powers and disappeared on their own. Maybe somebody took them. Like I said, they were like 10 to 20 pounds a piece of metal. I don't know if maybe a scrapper saw them and took them, right? But all I'm saying is like, once they left the property, everything stopped.
Well, and it is really strange timing with you taking the communion, yeah. Finally getting rid of those nightmares. And then now Tim, who is obviously probably extremely happy that all this activity has stopped. But even after that, you wouldn't go back to the house after the activity stopped?
No. So I, you know, when something like that happens, I didn't go back like I used to. After I got my band equipment back, and I kind of just, I mean, I stopped by that day. I didn't leave the mudroom. I just stood there. We'd talk and we would text, but I didn't probably visit for 3 or 4 months. And then when I did, I would never go in the basement. I'd stay in the front room, probably for about an hour or so. And then, I'd kind of leave. And to be 100% honest, there were some people like, you know, we lived a very different lifestyle, right? So I would hang out with him because he's still a best friend of mine, you know, and still my brother, you know, I consider, you know, but there were people there that I really didn't want to spend time with or associate with. So people would show up to hang out with him. And about that time I would leave. So I would visit probably every 3 to 6 months just to say, hey man, how's it going? And just talk. But about the time people started pouring in, that's when I'm like, you know, I don't really want to be a part of some of this. So I'd leave.
Chris, what about, you know, obviously you're religious, you would go to church, you would do your thing. Because of the fact that, and this, well, let me just do, I'll parcel this out. I'll ask my first question and then go to the next one. Tim, was Tim a religious person at all?
No.
Okay.
No.
What about the new roommate?
No. No. Well, you know what? I think when he was a kid, but I don't think as an adult, no.
Okay. Like at the time that he moved into the house, he wasn't really active in church at all. Okay.
No. And I will say, like, I've always been a religious person, but I don't go to church, right? Like I will be the first person to tell you, like, I pray. I am still a Christian, but I just don't belong to a church. I'll go through phases, you know, through my adulthood where I'll go to church for a while. Get something happens, work schedule changes, life happens, or I just decide I don't like that church anymore. And then a couple years of it and I'll stop and then maybe I'll find a new one or I'll go with friends. And so, I mean, I wasn't like going to church every Sunday, but I was my whole life. I've been very religious. You know, I have what I believe in. And I'll tell you right now, I mean, I think what I saw was a demon. I mean, just with all the things that happened, I mean, I hate to go back. I mean, with mainstream media, you watch movies, you see these things, and you know, that's what everyone goes to, right? Everybody thinks, oh my God, I have a demon, whatever, you know, that when they have these encounters. But just the feeling that I got, it's not something you can explain. It was so, so dark, so sinister. I mean, the presence was felt, and it wasn't just like I was seeing something. I felt a bad presence. And it's, you know, I talked to actually at one point to a pastor about some of these things. Just, he had made the comment, you know, and I thought it was very interesting. He said, you know, it comes thinking about like funerals, right? A lot of people wonder, how old is my kid? Should I take my kid to a funeral if they're young? Well, he said, he's like, you know, I've done a lot of funerals and kids may not be able to comprehend what's happening, but they can sense there's a difference in the presence of the person that's laying in the casket, like during an open casket. Mm-hmm. So I think personally, like, we know, like, as a human, there is something deep in us. We know when something is not right, when it doesn't feel like a human. And it didn't feel like a human. What I saw was not positive. There was no happiness. It was just so dark. You could feel it everywhere around you.
Do you wonder why it chose you to show itself to? Like, do you know if Tim has ever seen a thing?
Yeah. You know, I've gotten that question quite a few times. I tell the story and to, like, you know, friends, and I get that question a lot. And I wonder, you know, I think, I don't know. I was there when we unearthed those masks. Those masks were not a happy thing by any means. I mean, just looking at them, there was something that was disturbing about them. And so maybe it was just, I was there. Maybe it felt I was the vulnerable one between Tim and I.
Because you didn't want to touch it?
Because I wouldn't touch.
You wouldn't touch either one of them. Yeah. So maybe because Tim, Tim actually was accepting enough to touch them and pick them up and move them, that it almost, I mean, he wasn't spared, but did he ever see a shadow figure, or do you think he would even tell you if he did?
He wouldn't tell me.
Gotcha.
I mean, we were very, very close. I mean, Tim, we go very bad. I mean, he was at my bachelor party. He was in my wedding. We're very close. But like I said, the way he acted throughout this whole process, I don't think he wanted the reputation of the scary, you know, the haunted house. You know, we were all kind of like the skeptical guys. I mean, it was not something that, like, we watched Ghost Hunters or this or that or all these TV shows now about it. That was not us. I mean, we're just trying to get by. And also, I mean, he felt trapped financially. And so I'm sure, as the homeowner being there 24 hours a day, or not 24 hours a day, but when he's not working, I'm sure there were things he experienced. Actually, I know there are. I mean, he would tell me he would hear things, you know, he would talk about the smells, and I'm sure there were things, right? But I don't know if he would openly tell a lot of people that, just because that's attention you don't really want, and we weren't looking for it back then.
Right.
And, you know, that's the other thing, too. I mean, there were so many people that would be at these parties, and they'd experience these things. I mean, we're not talking, you know, two people, right? I mean, we're talking, we would have, I mean, six, seven people saw the video, you know, eight or nine people might've been in the room when Henry got thrown. I mean, it got around. I was literally hearing about the instances I was living out when I would, like, talk to other random people, right? So it was just kind of a really weird situation. And, you know, and that's the other thing too, friends kind of go their own separate ways. And I mean, there's a lot of people that were involved that I'm not friends with now, you know, or they went down a path that I don't want to be a part of, or they kind of got messed up with the wrong people. So, I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like, there's the good friends that stayed close, you know, there's might be four or five, maybe six of us that are still, like, on speaking terms and good friends. And we all talk about these. I mean, we'll make jokes and reference things about this, but, you know, I really don't know why it came for me. And maybe it didn't come for me, right? Like, maybe I was just at that moment, mm-hmm. opportunistically, I was by myself.
Right.
Right. So all these instances were happening were typically not by myself, at least that I know of. So maybe it was something that was like, it wanted someone to have their guard down and be alone. I don't know. And that very well could be. And your guess is as good as mine, but I'm telling you what I felt was I can't imagine a ghost feeling like that. And I kind of go back to just that conversation I had with a pastor when he said, you know, we as humans know when a presence doesn't feel correct. This was not a presence that you've ever felt before. And I guess that's probably the best way I can just describe what it looked like and felt like.
Now, you and the new roommate were having this shared dream experience, essentially. You didn't know it at the time. But the new roommate, did he actually see this hooved, backward-kneed figure, shadow figure like you? Or did he just have the dreams?
So I told him exactly, like, I was like, hey, this is, I was like, man, I had this, you know, experience. And I remember him saying, you're joke. He was like, man, you're totally kidding, right? And I'm like, no, I wouldn't kid about it. And he's like, man, I had the exact nightmare for a long time, but it had purple eyes. So I don't know. I mean, I didn't respond with, oh, well, were its knees backwards, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe it was just a shadow figure. I don't know. But it was when he was actually one of your viewer or like a person that views your videos a lot. And this was not, for the longest time, it was, to be 100% honest, it was, you talk about things like this and it's almost shameful. I mean, I didn't want to get made fun of. I didn't want people to make brash assumptions about me as a person by, you know, me being the guy that believes in ghosts, you know? So that's one reason until recently I would never, like, I would talk to people in confidence, like seeing, like me and someone talking, I would tell them, but, and I wouldn't go on like the air talking about it at all. Just,
right.
I don't know. It just wasn't something I wanted to be a part of, to be 100% honest.
Well, and Chris, if you remember when you first reached out and you, you know, you left your voicemail, I got a hold of you like, you know, quite quickly. And of course, thank you for calling in, but I just, and a big thanks to the new roommate. I don't know his name and the listener for pointing you in my direction. Thank you so much. But if you recall, I had just read the short story by Stephen King. I should have written it down before I got on the phone with you, about the antiques collector that it was ill-gotten. He had found this mask and it had these insane powers and did horrible things to people. It was a short story, but a terrifying one. And it was just such a strange coincidence that then I get you calling in about these two cast iron masks that seem to have ill effects for the people that are around them. It was so odd.
Yeah, you know, it's funny too. I wish I was a person that read ever. You know, I went to school online, and so I got my undergrad online, and that kind of ruined reading for me. You know, you read 60, 80 pages of a textbook a night, and you're done.
Yeah.
So I, you know, if I ever sit down to read for enjoyment, I will do my very best to make it some Stephen King one. And actually, when you told me that, I wrote it down. But like, I bought like two or three books recently that I started reading. And I'm like, I get to like page 30 and I'm like, this sucks. Let's watch TV.
Well, you know what's great is you know, this one's a short story. So it's super short. So that'll be good. Yeah, I would love to see what you thought. Not that I'm trying to compare. I just think it was weird timing is all. You know what I mean? Because I've never had anyone specifically call me about possible, essentially, cursed masks. I don't know what else to call them. In fact, if we could zip back to the actual masks really quickly. I know they were heavy and, you know, you described in detail as much as you could what they look like. But so if you were to take one of these masks and hold them up to your face, would it fit perfectly over a human face or were they a little smaller?
They were to be worn.
Oh, my God.
They were definitely to be worn.
Ugh.
So here's the other thing. There are things that I heard after the fact from people that weren't involved in this situation that I'm not repeating just because, like I said, I wasn't there. I can't really validate. I didn't look at the masks. I wouldn't touch the damn things. But I heard from people that are telling the story, kind of like the telephone game when you were a kid. I'd hear from so-and-so who heard from so-and-so. And I remember someone telling me, well, you know that there were carvings and inscriptions on the inside of the masks. I can't tell you that that's the case. So that's one reason I didn't. Those are some of the little details that I'm leaving out because I'm like, I feel like when Tim picked him up and like looked at him, put him at the table, I feel like if he saw that, he would have said something. But, you know, and I just can't validate that. So to me, that's just, you know, that's hearsay.
No, and I appreciate you being honest about that. Thank you. Since you didn't see it, you're like, I can't say for sure. Okay, so you get into the house at the onset, and you got the melted candles on the floor and graffiti. What kind of graffiti was this?
You know, it was just the typical stuff. Well, names, but like, you know, weird names that, I mean, I don't know what the names were. You know, I just, you know, like, you might see like names on the wall of like a person. I do remember there were like names on the wall of a person actually. And if I remember right, his garage, his detached garage had the same graffiti or like similar graffiti and like the melted candles and stuff. But his garage was just full of crap. The homeowner left like a lot of old, like those, you know, beige white computers, fax or copy machines, things like that. Like things that you don't want, the homeowner just stuck in the garage, and then it got past no one seeing it until he bought the house. To answer your question, I mean, it wasn't like I saw some name that I could like write down and Google.
So, yeah, so it wasn't like one on the left-hand wall of the living room, it says Beazel, and the other side says Bub. So it wasn't that
Well,
yeah,
and that's
that
the other thing,
face.
Too. If it said something like that, I mean, I'm, you know, I didn't believe in the stuff, but I mean, I've read the Bible,
right.
You know, and I went to Sunday school and I've heard if I said Beelzebub on the wall, I'd be a little,
right.
I would be like, okay, I'm going to leave now.
Well, you know, I was just, you know, it so just sounded like.
It definitely didn't say that. It didn't say like any names that were recognizable. And I will say I spent a great deal of time when all this was said and done. And even like to this day, I kind of look, I've never seen masks like these because they were so strange and crazy for me to see that I researched. I looked for similar masks. What I was hoping was this is all in my head and I'm losing my you know what, and these are like some band, some like hardcore metal band wears these masks, right? And they were just happened to be thrown in the backyard and buried or whatever. That's kind of what I was hoping, but I never found anything anywhere near these. And they were so detailed. It was just unreal, the detail in these masks. And like I said, it was so old. The metal was pitted, and I have no idea how they made them. That was the other thing with me. Like I said, I was going to school for the longest time for CNC
which
machining.
Which is weird that you came across those, by the way. I had that written down. I'm like, you're a machinist and could identify the fact that these are super rare items, hard to make. What are the chances of you being one of the two people to find these damn things?
And that's the thing too. It's like one of the things that really comes into my head from this situation that I went through is, are there really coincidences, right? There's so many little things that just, especially now, and I'm sorry, I'm a talker and I'm going to keep going, but I've had a lot of other little things in my life that after this happened that I'm like, you know what, they kind of reinforced my belief of afterlife and, you know, guardian angel type people watching over me. I've had some things happen to me, and I don't know, I guess I'm one of those people that I don't know if I believe that there's so many coincidences anymore. I think I've always thought everything happens for a reason, but it just seems like there's too many coincidences in some cases.
So now this is total conjecture, but I'm interested to see what you think about this. Is the fact that they were buried, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that whoever buried them was trying to, it's a help or a hurt situation. Do you think they were trying to keep them on the property to keep this perpetuated, or that they were trying to contain, you know, whatever evil or curse that may have been attached to these things?
Oh boy. That's another quite a loaded question. So I think it could go either way, right? I mean, you know, that here's the problem that we have these days when you hear stories like this. You hear there's the Hollywood story and then there's the logic story, right? Like if this was a Hollywood thing, someone buried him in the ground and got their cauldron out and was making spells and stuff to try to make something happen. But does that really happen? You know what I mean? Like, so that's where I question, is it Hollywood versus reality? So if this was, I mean, I would never mess with the occult or do something really dark like this. However, I would think you bury something like that. I mean, if you think of things that you bury, right? Like we bury those we love in the ground, right? And that's kind of like a positive thing. We want to remember them. I don't know a whole lot of things that you bury to like, to be bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I often think this was something that they were trying to contain it. And maybe you think about it, like think all of these people, like someone that you love dies. one of the very popular things people do is plant a tree, a memorial tree. What if those trees had something to do with it? You know, it could, I know that we're focusing on the mask, but we also cut down those two trees. You know, the tree is a symbol of, you know, new beginnings, and, you know, there are trees all throughout religions. And it's kind of, it, you think about that, and then you're like, well, was it even the mask? Was it the tree? Right.
Mm.
So I don't know. I think contain, but I don't know. Again, I didn't touch these masks, and I sure as heck wasn't going to. So it's not like I touched it and I felt something. You know what I mean? I was like, I don't want any part of that. So I don't know. I guess, like I said, I think it was a containment thing. I just don't see, without it being in a Hollywood blockbuster movie, it being planted in the ground, you know?
Right. And well, and I don't, you know, you're not a botanist. I don't think that you are, but, you know, I wonder what kind of trees those were and how old they were, how long they had been there. You know, what came first, right? The chicken or the egg? Was it, like you said, maybe it was more about the trees than the masks.
Right.
Something else here.
And they were between 10 and 15 feet tall. So uh-huh. I can only imagine they were planted as a small tree. So I think they were there for years.
Okay.
Right. I don't think you could, a tree that size. I mean, I'm not a tree expert, obviously, but like I tree that size. I mean, it's not something you would like go buy from like a nursery and put in the ground. You know what I mean? So I would assume it was there for years.
They were, yeah, just naturally there. Okay, gotcha. The mask one and mask two. We have a dichotomy of the anatomy of the masks, and again, total conjecture. But I want to ask you. One of them had a closed mouth completely, and the other has the aperture of a scream with the hand with the claws on it coming out to boot. So that is, I mean, that's night and day as far as, you know, if you just on, well, besides the spikes though, on mask one with the closed mouth, if everybody remembers, they each had their own horrifying attributes. But do you think there's anything to this? Well, this one has a closed mouth and this one has the screaming wide open mouth.
Goodness, I don't know. They were both just so creepy. It's not like, I can't imagine one representing, you know, something being locked away in protection, and that's the spike one, because it was still terrifying.
Right.
So I don't think it's like yin and yang or like good and bad. Like they put the good mask on the bad, because they were both so creepy. And they were built from the same cloth. And when I say that, obviously not cloth, but like same eye holes, same ear holes. You know, I mean, they were the same style mask with just huge differences. So I don't know. I don't know if that's an assumption that I can make. I don't know. It was so strange. I mean, I know people say it's the stuff of nightmares all the time, but like, I'm not this creative. I mean, I can't imagine someone making this story up.
Right. Right.
It was just so weird. There was just so many little details, and I just don't know. I don't know. I wish I could give you a better answer, but I can't.
Well, and no, and it's fine. It's that's why I preface it by this is just conjecture, because it's no pressure on you. You're not supposed to know. But as you said, they weigh between 10 and 20 pounds apiece. You certainly aren't wearing these around to go trick-or-treating. You know, not that you would. I'm just saying.
God, no.
But this would be almost like someone was laying down or already passed, or you're doing some kind of... I mean, but you can't lay with 10 or 20 pounds on your face. I just don't... I don't know. I don't... It's crazy to me. I don't... I love this story. Not story. These encounters with these masks. I've never heard anything like this before. And goodness me, if you ever come across pictures of these things, I would just love to see.
Oh,
of course,
yeah.
you probably wouldn't want to see them again.
The homeowner, actually, when I originally called you after I spoke with the viewer that told me to give you a call, I called him. I'm like, hey, man, I'm like, you know, how's it going? And we got to talking because, you know, I don't really remember what brought it up, but I think he brought up the ghost, like, just like talking about it. And he said, I asked him, like, man, you don't still have those pictures of the mask? And he's like, no, they're on an old phone. He's like, and it's dead and I can't get it to turn on. But he said that he like had pictures of it still on an old phone, but he's just never been able to get them off.
We can find an old charger. I'll send him a new charger.
You know what? It's probably one of those crazy, crazy old, like,
Nokia flip phones.
Look like,
yeah.
An audio jack hole, yeah, or whatever.
Yeah.
But, he definitely, it was funny. Like, I brought it up and he's like, man, I wish I still did, because this, even though the story is kind of done and everything's cooled down, people still talk about it. I mean, there were just too many people that were involved and seeing and feeling things that it just because something stopped doesn't mean that no one talks about it and it dies. You know what I mean?
So, oh yeah. Well, especially when you have groups of people over that many times.
Oh, yeah.
It's just funny though, because every time something would go down, they're like, bye bye, see ya, we're out.
Mm-hmm. Well, his friend was, one of our best friends, Matt, was actually watching he was sitting next to me when we were watching that video of the DVD come off the shelf. And I remember looking over and his jaw, I mean, it was like you would have thought it was going to fall off his head and hit the floor. I mean, it was, you can't make up some of these expressions that you would see on people's face. And it's funny, because that's one of the things that I remember, is how people reacted to it. And when there's not a logical explanation, your head just kind of explodes. It kind of implodes, you know what I mean?
Well, and the DVD hovering kind of took out the whole element of,
oh, yeah,
you know, oh, it got some,
drop.
Yeah, if it hovers, then you have another situation going on.
What it was felt like to me was someone grabbed it and pulled it out, and just, I mean, we're talking like a half second, it just stayed there and then just dropped. Almost like somebody pulled it out, looked at it, and just threw it at the floor. Which I don't think, you know, I don't think spirits are looking at, you know, an old copy of Mr. Deeds, or, you know, I'm guessing what it was, but I'm just saying, I don't think there's any
right
movies that the spirits were trying to see. So, yeah, I have no clue. It's just a really weird situation, and it makes for a pretty dang good story. And every time I tell someone, they're always like, you should go on one of these shows or this and that. I'm like, I don't know. Because, I mean, you still don't see a whole lot of these shows where you watch them and, you know, you're not like, oh, they're full of crap. You know what I mean? And not to mention, you got the people that you immediately think, oh, well, it must be in their head. You know what I mean?
Well, then it was in a whole lot of people's head, if that was all, you know, just made up, or you guys
Correct.
Were having a group hallucination. At least there's that. At least you had other people, I mean, even just besides you and Tim, that went through this, and the new roommate. That is a huge consolation. Does Tim still live there?
Oh, yeah. And so that's the other thing, too. So I have told the story to people that are like friends and colleagues, and they always say, oh, well, where do you live? And I'll say Pekin, but just because he lives there, I've had a lot of people ask, they want the actual house number.
Oh, goodness, no.
And address. And I'm like,
yeah, you can't.
I'm like, no,
that
I'm not going to do that. He's kind of a quiet person and likes to be kept to himself. And honestly, it's gotten around more than once. I mean, people have wanted to come visit just to experience stuff. It's not like, that's not a new thing.
Right. Yeah, that's not cool. It's not a tourist attraction. It's his house.
Right. And he still lives there. I mean, but like I said, I did see him about 4 or 5 months ago, and maybe even less than that. And I asked him, I'm like, you know, it's funny. You always go to, you know, and the ghost back, and not really, no, not that I know of, you know, I mean, he still hasn't had anything like we had. So no experiences,
that's
at least.
That's good, because he's got to live there. He's got to sleep there. You know, I mean, it's not cool when it's your own house.
Yeah, and I get a lot of people that are like, well, if this was all happening, then why didn't he do this and why didn't he do that? And I don't think some people realize often when you're in these situations, not everybody has the same financial means.
Absolutely.
As some people. So we would get a lot of people that would say, why don't you call this ghost hunter agency or whatever. We had a lot of people tell us to do that. And I'm like, first off, they're not typically free services. And two, it's like, that's literally asking for like a circus attraction. You know what I mean? And that wasn't something he really wanted.
Yeah.
You know?
You have to be careful with things like that, with people that you decide to bring into your home.
Right. And like I said, though, I mean, that's a very common thing, that when I do tell the story, it's, well, why didn't you do this? Or why didn't he just sell the house and move? I'm like,
oh, no.
He literally sunk everything he had into this house. I mean, it's not one thing to just buy a house, but then buy a house, move in, and you're like, oh, now I have to redo the entire ceiling because there's a 10-foot hole in it.
Right.
It was like one thing after another, and he had all these issues, and I don't know. It's just one of those things that whenever we tell the story or I tell the story, people always go there. And I'm like, you know, I'm really happy that you have the financial means to do this and that, but we sure didn't. And he definitely did not.
I wouldn't, you know, if I moved into a place, bought a place and Shisa started to go down, I'd be stuck. A lot of people would. You don't have, oh, gee, why didn't I think to move? Oh, that never crossed my mind. No, of course it would. But you can't just up and move unless you have the means.
Every single person I tell the story says I would have moved. And I'm like, I mean, he was working at like a grocery store prior to like when he moved in, probably making $8-$10 an hour. I'm like, not everyone can just up and move. I mean, I'm sure he depleted his savings and everything just purchasing the house.
Right. He busted his butt. Well, you called it. It was perfect. You said it was his Hail Mary. I mean, you know, that says it all right there. So that means this is it. He's got to make this work.
Homeless for a short period of time, living in his truck in the Walmart parking lot. He got kicked out of his parents' house and had to like quickly buy a house. And that's where this came in.
See, so if that doesn't say everything, then, I mean, you basically, you're dealing with it. This is your house. Tim's like, this is my house. I'm not leaving. I got to figure this out. So that was probably a big reason why why you felt like he kind of acted weird. He was just trying to tamp down what he was probably feeling inside. Like, oh crap. Like I got to figure this out. I don't know what's going on here, but this is now my house. So.
And there would be times his door would be shut and I'd be at the house and you'd hear his dog do the same growling thing. And I'd hear him say, Jackson, shut up, you know, and just because the dog's doing what they think is best, but he didn't want to hear it.
Yeah. He's like, look, I'm trying to have this out of sight, out of mind thing right now, Jackson. Can you help me out, buddy?
Mm-hmm. But it was a crazy, crazy experience. I mean, I always make the joke to people. I'm like, you know, someday I might write a book about it because every time I tell the story, someone's like, you should write a book. And
you probably should.
I don't know.
You probably should think about that.
It'd be something. I don't know if I'm smart enough to do that, but it's definitely a thought.
Hey, if I can write a few things down, then you certainly can. Don't even worry about it. The good thing is you get an editor and then you don't even really have to read it too many times, you know, since you don't like reading very much.
Exactly, but, exactly, for sure.
Chris, thank you so much for being willing to come on and tell this story in full. It creeped me out enough when I heard the abridged version, but hearing all the details and everything, I'm like, that's on the no list for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing, too. People are always just like, you know, why don't you go back? I'm like, have you listened to me?
Have you not heard a thing that I have said?
The last 20 minutes or so? Like, who in their right mind would experience all that and then just willy-nilly go back like it's nothing? I'm like, I thought I was a tough dude when all this happened, and I'm like, you're tougher than me if you're gonna go right back into that scenario after you saw what I saw.
Oh yeah, you want to hear the little hooves, and see the backward knee demon. And so that's the scariest you've ever been in your entire life, right?
Oh yeah hands down.
Yeah. So you know what, Chris, the next time somebody says that, just be like, you know what, if you ever have that experience, let me know if you're going to go back to that place that you had that experience.
Exactly.
Call me. You're like, call me back on that. Okay.
Well, you have a great day, Shannon. Have a terrific rest of the week and have a good weekend.
Yeah. You too, Chris. Thanks again, man.
Well, I'm so-and-so. I was given this name by my parents. I've been to such and such a college. I've done these things in my profession. I produce a little bar. Buddha says, forget it. That's not true. That's some story. That's all gone. That's all past. I want to see the real you are now. Well, nobody knows who that is. Because we don't know ourselves except through listening to our echoes and consulting our memories. But then there's a real you, and that again leads us back to this question. Who are you? That is the meaning. We shall see how they play with this exam. By the koans, to get you to come out of your shell and find out who you really are. reincarnation. That after your funeral, you know, you will suddenly become somebody different, living somewhere else. They will say reincarnation means this, that if you sitting here now are really convinced that you're the same person who walked in at the door half an hour ago, you're being reincarnated. If you are liberated, you understand that you're not. The past doesn't exist. The future doesn't exist. There is only the present. That's the only real you that there is. The Zen master Dogen viewed it this way. He said, spring does not become the summer. First there is summer, and then there is spring.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.